Brian Epstein moved his offices to London. There was talk of a movie. Millions and millions of words were written about the Beatles. Dozens of in-depth studies on their work and personalities came into print. And at the end of the year, the new Musical Express released their annual poll. The Beatles were the top British vocal group with 18,623 votes, followed by the Searchers with 2,169. England's superstars were also acclaimed the top vocal group in the world. They buried the Everly Brothers with 14,666 votes to the Everlys 3,232. Lennon and McCartney were two of the top 20 world male singers, and the group took the top four awards in the Best British Disc of the Year. Now it was time to cross the channel and see what they could do in France. They found out on January 15th, 1964. The Paris Olympia was filled to capacity, and overnight, another nation had succumbed to Beatlemania. Europe had been conquered. That boy took my love away. He'll regret it someday. But this boy wants you back again. And what was happening in America?
It stopped tracks being 3 minutes long.
International rock critic Richie York gives his impression of where it was at musically in late 63.
Prior to then, the record company had complete control. They said what the jacket would be, what the record would be, what lyrics would go and what would be kept, and pretty well the whole thing. The artist was really only, in fact, manipulated by the producers and so on. They were brought in a good-looking guy. They told him, here's the song you sing, this is how you sing it. But the Beatles just broke that wide open. They had the freedom, and other groups which came up, such as the Yardbirds and the Rolling Stones, also had that. So that the groups took over the whole running of the creativity of pop music. And this led, of course, into the situation where Iron Butterfly were able to record a track which was 19 minutes long, and yet is still the best-selling album that Atlantic Records has ever had, selling something like 2.5 million copies. Also, the Beatles obviously expanded music in the directions of orchestral use in the studio, overdubbing extra instruments and gimmick instruments such as the mellotron, which was used in Strawberry Fields. George Martin's arrangements and things were radically different from what had gone before. Of course, there had been a period when the New York rock and roll sound with the Drifters and Benny King had produced something of a symphonic type effect with strings, but the Beatles were the first to really use, for example, in Eleanor Rigby, you know, a small quartet. And they just created a feeling that all music was really one music. Contemporary music could be classical music at the same time. And they used all instruments. And of course, they used all sorts of melody changes, things which were totally out of the rule book as far as writing songs were concerned, changing time in the wrong places and so on. But this really only seemed to endear them to the public even more. I would think that there is no doubt that the Beatles contributed more to the evolution of pop music into probably the most significant music form of this century than any artist, I think, since Chuck Berry. And Chuck Berry, I think, was the man that made rock and roll what it was and brought it into the Beatles era. And, of course, then the Beatles have taken it on, and who knows who'll take it from where they've taken it.
The rock had gone out of rock. Even Elvis, upon his discharge from the army, began to mellow in style and had long since abandoned the concert scene. There was the mounting social attack, the mood of America with the assassination of its president, the Payola scandal, and the folk revival when the popularity of rock began to diminish. The entire scene, from Pat Boone to Paul Anka, from Bobby V to Bobby Vinton, marked a rapid deterioration in the quality of music. And eventually, a pop scene so stagnant and disorderly that only the Beatles could save it. The stage was set for the revitalization of rock.